Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Sunday evening, September 28th, 2008. It is now about 8.01 p.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old, and I mean old, USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Or email us at any time to comments at libertytalkradio.com. If you are listening to a rebroadcast, you can call in your questions to area code 918-919-0101. I encourage you also to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com, and that two is a numeric two. Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. In fact, he just had a broadcast, internet broadcast, on Blog Talk Radio. It was excellent. It talked about the big bailout that's being proposed and will be voted on tomorrow. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Well, good evening, everyone. This has been a very tumultuous week, to say the least. Now, let me say this. We have five lines that we can take calls on. Sometimes we get one or two. I'd like to see all those lines lit up. Don't be afraid to call in. I will not snap your head off. I really am interested in hearing what you have to say. If I disagree with you, I promise that I will be respectful and at least attempt to answer your question or your point of view from a critical thinking point of view. If I fail to do so, you can please tell me and I will not be upset. I will examine what I am doing. Now, with that being said, I'd like to start off by reading a couple of items to you, if I can find them. You know, I don't have an assistant this evening. And when I don't have an assistant, things don't go, don't go nearly as well. And let's see if I can find it. Here it is. This is from the Future of Freedom Foundation, Sheldon Richman. His words from politicians are like incantations. You're not supposed to ask exactly how an alleged government solution will work. You're just supposed to feel reassured. The well-meaning politicians and their experts have things under control. No need to worry. Nothing to see here. Move along. Sheldon Richman of the Future of Freedom Foundation. How true? Are we not being asked to do exactly that? I have a couple of emails. This is one from Tom. My friend Tom from Chile sends me a lot of emails, and I really appreciate that. And he sends me some beautiful pictures of Chile. He said, should I decide to bail out of the United States, Chile would be a wonderful place to go, and he has just the right spot for me. I'll tell you, he's making it sound awfully tantalizing. He says, Joe, my perspective, if we quit funding the wars now, in about 3 years, more than $700 million could be saved, figuring in the interest on the money. No more offense budget, which funds wars, just a basic defense budget, which funds peace. I like that. I just love that, Tom. No offensive, which funds wars, defense, which funds peace. We could also close all the U.S. military installations, but there goes our economy, an economy based on war and greed. It's the American way to fund the American dream, Tom. True words have not been spoken. The only word that I would like to take out of there is a word greed, because I don't understand what that thing means. I mean, I sort of understand. I know there's greedy people who wouldn't do a damn thing for anyone, provided they profited, you know, monetarily. I mean, they're very mean-hearted people, and we all know who those people are. I mean, you can smell them coming. You can see them coming, and you can smell them when they're there. I mean, they really aren't people. He sends me another note. He said, I just listened to he's interested. I mentioned secession, and he said, I said that, you know, there was a movement now in Vermont to secede from the Union. And he says, you're right. He said, you know, the states are sovereign, which they are. Thank you, Tom. Okay. I have one from Southside, from Baltimore. And he sent me a long one, and he sent me several questions, and I really don't know how to answer them. I'll be honest with you. He said, he asked several questions. He asked me, would I still vote? And I said, well, the answer is no, I don't vote. Oh, let me see. There's someone on the line now. Let's see who this is first before we get into that. Good evening. Liberty Talk Radio, you're on the air.
Hi, my name's James. I'm from New York, Queens.
James from New York, Queens. Good. I'm from East Harlem, New York, and lived in the Bronx for a while. I've been in Queens two or three times in my life. Nice place. Thank you for calling, James. What's on your mind tonight?
Okay. That guy from Chile said, I mean, first of all, we should take all the bases from around the world and just put bases in the United States.
I'm sorry. Take all what from around the world?
Bases, military bases.
Oh, military,
like,
yeah.
There's bases in Germany, there's bases in Romania, there's bases in Poland.
Yeah, we have actually...
seven to the United States.
Yeah, we actually have 761. What the government documents refer to military sites, which are bases. Some are very small and some are quite large. 761 in 151 foreign countries, and that's from government sources. And of course, we have many stealth bases in countries that we will not admit. And we have right now about 511,000 troops on those bases, unfortunately.
Correct. I mean, I'm just saying where he said, yeah, we should not have an offensive budget but a defensive budget.
Right.
We still, I mean, to have a defense, you still need bases in your country you're defending. Not countries like, our Constitution doesn't make us say we have to defend South Korea.
Yeah.
That war's been going on for 50 years.
Yeah. Where would you have...
I mean, I was in the Army. I know people that were shot in 1989. I mean, just to the Delmira, to the DMZ zone, someone fires a shot, they think it might be an enemy shot, might not, then a bunch of crossfire happens, it stops.
James, let me ask
it's
you this.
It's been a cool war for 50 years.
Do you believe we should have bases in any foreign countries?
None.
No? Okay, all right.
I mean, if they're not, I mean, we have to take money. The Iraq War should teach us a lot. I mean, if we had bad intentions or good intentions, it doesn't matter. But the problem is that Saddam Hussein was an asshole.
But wait a minute. Who put Saddam Hussein into power?
We did.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sort of.
What do you mean, sort of?
We sort of did by supporting his Ba'ath Party in the 80s.
Yeah,
he was a gunman.
He was a gunman, and we actually were the the people behind the scenes ensuring that he got into power because he was playing ball with us. So he was our man. We made him who he was.
Oh, yeah. Then, you know, sometimes, I mean, it's almost like when you're growing up. I mean, I had a good friend when I was young. And then later on in high school, we became more like rivals and got into fights and so forth. It's almost into that same extent. But I'm just saying, I mean, what's scary is that, I mean, but there's, like I said, there's, I mean, what I was meaning to say is there's mean people all over the place.
I know,
I mean,
that. Yeah.
We can't go in there and beat up everybody.
Right. Well, why didn't we learn? We were in Vietnam. Why didn't we learn anything from Vietnam? Why did we go into Iraq? I mean, we know why we do these things. And the reason why we go into these wars is not the reason that are told to the people at large. I mean, there's always a reason, and that reason is never portrayed to us at all. I mean, we never said that we're going into Iraq to protect oil, oil supplies. I mean, we would never say that because the American people wouldn't have stood for that. But that's the reason why we went in, and we went in there because Saddam Hussein decided to accept only euro dollars for the oil petro euros rather than euro dollars for the oil. And the only reason why we're saying...
Yeah, I know that. I mean, I listened to your show for a time, and this is my actually second call, almost third call. I was sending a call last week, but I had a horrible cell phone connection.
Our connection is not that very very good. In fact, you're echoing a little bit. I don't know why.
It could be my apartment.
Yeah, if you maybe can step a little bit away from the phone or something, try something different, because it's very difficult for me to understand you.
Okay. All right. Better now?
That's a little better. Yes, it is.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, and how about the Oil for Food program? I mean, it's a bunch of stuff. You can't say the United States is all the grand evil in the world either. I mean, I get where you're coming from, but it's not the grand evil. I mean, or we should all move out. You know, so all the good people move out and, go back to our mother countries and so forth.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, I mean, we say that only because those people that I know that have left the United States have left because they see that the Constitution is no longer being abided by, and they wanted to live in a country where they had more freedom and they weren't so concerned about the government takeover and stuff like that. You know, they had their reasons, and they're different for everyone. And we're no different as a people. We're no different than anyone else. We have the same desires and needs. We raise families. We want to see. We want to have friends. We want to have social relationships that are solid. You know, the needs are the same everywhere around the world. The only change is the governments. The people are the same. You know, if you and I went to Iraq, I'm sure if you and I were bicycling through Iraq and we stopped in a town, they would welcome us with open arms and give us their last loaf of bread. I mean, there would be no guns, no fighting or anything. We would exchange what we had, we would give to them. What they have, they would give to us. And that would be the same. I've read books about people who have traveled around the world on motorcycles, had gone to remote places, to countries that I never even heard of before. And they were treated absolutely wonderfully by everyone. Absolutely everyone. They've never had an experience where, now, you know, you always find a person trying to steal a bike or something like that. But I mean, but the people in general were exactly the same. In fact, in most countries, they were a lot more hospitable than they were in countries that we're familiar with, like in France or, you know, Spain or whatever. Just absolutely wonderful. But yet, our government considers these people our enemies. And this is what we have to be aware of. And that's why
I mean,
we should
French treat us pretty cool. I mean, I've mostly been to, the only foreign country that's anything remotely, where most people might not have heard of is Romania. I mean, most countries I've been to besides that were, Great Britain, France, and a brief time in Germany just because I was waiting to go to Romania.
Yeah.
I mean, and the Romanians were very nice people, very hospitable, and so forth. And the French, you know, being French, you know, I mean, because we all have this pride issue where we know, you know, France used to be there, we are there, you know, where we're very major influence, major economy, and the, you know, like you said, I mean, the most hospitable place I've ever been to, besides my, I mean, I'm first generation from Scotland, so my dad was born in Scotland, was Romania. I mean, so I agree with you.
Okay. Well, James, I need to get on with my program now, okay, because I only have about another 25 minutes to go, and we got a lot to cover tonight.
Is there anything?
Okay. I appreciate you very much, your listenership, and I thank you very much for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, maybe James should get his own radio program. That's great. I'm glad that he called in. I don't mean to make light of that at all. All right, let's see. Where was I? I got this one from Southside, and I don't. He asked so many questions, and I just can't seem to pinpoint anything. He says, "Do you foresee the USA rewarding poor performance in the future?" And the answer is absolutely yes, South. I expect that the U.S. government will always reward any poor performance, provided that it's politically expedient, because achievement is very rarely rewarded by the government, because achievement doesn't need government. It's only the people who have failed, who have screwed up, that run to the government for help, and then the government makes it look as if it's benevolent. So I agree. He says, is this a play to bail out AIG because of the Russians and Chinese own sovereign wealth funds? Absolutely yes. I mean, I think there's no question about that. Let's see. He gives me a scenario, and then he says, what is up with the new mileage standards? And I don't know. I can't answer to that. But mileage standards mean absolutely nothing and do absolutely nothing. I should do a program on that. And he says, okay, if we're talking about gold and silver investment, but gold is way too high, let me ask, the bankers have a new gold bubble and they will get me once again. Well, let me just finish by saying, Southside, don't worry about gold being too high. I remember there was a movie back in the 1980s, and it was about the, I think the Arabs have decided to cash in their dollars, and of course the dollar went tanked and the whole bit, and price of gold went up, and there's a scene where this guy calls his wife, you know, who's on, he's I guess on the commodities exchange. He says, tells his wife, he says, you know, go and sell everything and buy gold. She says, you realize gold is $2,000 an ounce. He says, by this evening that will be cheap. And that's an interesting line, and we have to keep that in line. Although we think gold is expensive, gold is really very, very, very cheap. In order to match the price of gold that was inflation adjusted, that is, for the high of 1981, we would have to be somewhere around $2,500. Well, you see, we're one third of that, and I'm waiting for it to go up, and I will be I'll continue to buy until I feel it really has reached a peak. Let's see. I want to talk a little bit now. Well, we chewed up a lot of time when we have done absolutely nothing so far. I want to talk a little bit about the debates. I listened for over 1 hour. And let me be honest with you. I just could not listen to the debate for any longer. I started, my mind was wandering. It was like watching a very bad movie with very bad dialogue. You've lost where you were. You have no idea what the characters, who the characters are. There's no character development, and you're just staring at it, and you figure you're better off just getting up and buying some popcorn and eating yourself to oblivion, because this is a waste of time. That's the way I felt. In fact, after an hour, I quit. My wife watched a little bit longer, and then she couldn't watch it. Folks, that had to be absolutely the worst debate, the absolute debate, we call it, conversation, that I have ever witnessed. These guys said absolutely nothing. They said nothing. They meant nothing. And the things that they said were ridiculous. And I will mention some of them. And then I want to mention those things that they fail to mention altogether. Now, first of all, I am going to become, I'm really late with station identification. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano. Please call in 646-652-4620, 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send your comments to me, comments@libertytalkradio.com, at any time. And on the rebroadcast, area code 918-919-0101. Now, I know this is going to sound, I'm going to sound like one of these radical radio programs where the guy's just screaming into the mic and saying all sorts of what may appear to be ridiculous things, but are probably true. But I'm going to sound like him. And because I am so fed up, so incredibly, incredibly fed up with our entire system of government, not our Constitution, not a democracy, you know, not the free enterprise, none of that. I mean, just these people and what they're doing to our government. I have decided, and I mean this, you have no idea, I put a lot of thought into this, I have decided that these people who are in office, for the most part, with rare exception, like Ron Paul, you know, very rare exception, these people are not representatives. They are not representing us. They are not congressmen. They are not senators. They are not politicians. They are not public servants. These people, folks, are criminals. Every one of them are criminals, with rare exception. Absolute criminals. If you had wanted to buy something, and I pretended to have the answer, and I gave you an answer, and you paid me, and my answer was a lot of baloney, you know, that would be criminal. That would be criminal intent. I just cheated you. I lied, and I took your money. Now, once I take your money, I become a criminal. It's cheating. You're cheating somebody. You're conning somebody. Now, if I con somebody out of money, con artists get jail terms. They get sentenced to jail. They go in, it's a felony, they get thrown in, and they're not worth a damn for the rest of their lives. Now, could you tell me what the difference is between a con artist on the street and these clowns, these criminals, these absolute criminals that we put into office? And what do? They take our money, they promise us certain things, then they talk as if they know what they're talking about. It would be as if someone asked me, are you an engineer? And I say, oh, of course not. I'm not an engineer. I could engineer myself out of a paper bag. And they ask me a structural question. And they're building a bridge. And I say, oh, yes, well, you know, put a beam here and this and that. And here's a fire. And, you know, of course, I'm making this up. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how to build a bridge. They build a bridge and everyone dies. I mean, the people get on the bridge collapses, everyone dies. People are going to come to me. I'm a criminal. I falsified my qualifications. Now you're saying, well, politicians aren't falsifying the qualification. They sure are. They talk as if they know and they have the answer, not for building the bridge, although they do build bridges without money that go to nowhere, as you know, but they do. They enact programs, and they act as if they know what they're talking about, and they haven't the foggiest idea what they're talking about. But they know it sounds good, and it's not their money. It's our money. They take our money. They steal it. They use it for their own use, for their political career. This is what they're doing. These are criminals, every damn one of them. McCain, you're a criminal. Obama, you're a criminal. And if people can't see that, then we have a population that is absolutely blind. I have a neighbor next door, really nice people, really nice people. They have signs in there, McCain Palin. You know, and I think to myself, there's got to be something wrong with them. There's got to be something wrong with them. How could anyone listen to what this criminal says and say, this is the man that should be running our country? You've got to be a lunatic. Here, let me give you a couple of lines that this lunatic said. Where are my papers? Now I'm going nuts here. Where are my papers? Here they are. I have no Marie today with me. He says, we'll do away with earmarks so that we can cut spending. You don't cut. You can cut all the earmarks. You can have zero earmarks. You haven't cut any spending. You've just cut the distribution of the spending. You just take the spending and you're gonna give the money to somebody else to decide how it's spent, which is the way it should be. But it has nothing to do with cutting spending. Now this guy's a criminal. If he's saying that if you cut earmarks, you cut spending, that is wrong. You wouldn't cut one penny. All you would do is you would relegate the spending to the states where it belongs. And this is what I really love. This guy is really bad. The next president should have experience because he must be prepared for the next conflict. What do we have here? Do we have a country that's a professional war machine? Do we elect presidents so that this guy can start the next war efficiently? I mean, on good footing, where we have a better chance of winning, of killing more people, of killing more innocent women and children, and this is the person we're going to vote for? This guy is a criminal, folks. An absolute criminal. And Obama, another criminal. You know, he wants to wind down the war in Iraq. Well, it's a matter of a timetable, you know. Him and McCain are saying the same stupid thing, and they're bickering back and forth. You said this, I said that. You said, I'm not even going to go through the debate because it's not worth spending time on. Because they said nothing, and they are worthless criminals, both of them. They both want to see the troops reduced in Iraq. Why? Because they want to go to Afghanistan. And these clowns then say, well, we have to be offensive on this move. We should be going after bin Laden. Well, folks, guess what? There has been no connection proven between the incident of 9/11 and bin Laden. Bin Laden is not even on the Secret Service, the FBI, most wanted list, because there's no connection. That was a trumped up charge. And then they said they would even go into Pakistan if they had to flush bin Laden out. Well, you criminals, don't you understand that Pakistan is a sovereign nation? What if Pakistan learned that someone who was an enemy of their state was hiding in the United States, and they sent their warplanes, their missiles, their soldiers onto our soil to flush them out? Would that be okay? Well, no, not Americans. Not my neighbors who are voting for McCain. They would say, hell no. Hell no, they can't do that. If they did that, we'd kill every one of them. We're killing again. Let's kill more. We can't kill enough. And both Obama and McCain, they want to kill more people because killing people makes money for the government. And all we have to do, we suckers who go to work every day, give our money to this government so they can go and kill people. As far as I'm concerned, we're all accessories to that fact. That makes us criminals too. If we vote for these criminals, we're criminals. Every one of us. And then they get patriotic and they get compassionate. They get emotional and they say, those who were killed were not to die in vain. No soldier, listen to these clowns, says, no soldier. And I'm not even going to tell you who said it because it makes no difference, because they're both clowns, they're both criminals, and they both say the same stupid thing. It makes no difference. No soldier has ever died in vain, as he is only following orders of his commanding officer. Now, could someone please reconstruct that sentence for me? Can someone construct that, make any sense out of that stupid sentence? That sounds like the audacity of hope. I still can't make any sense out of that stupid thing. And yet we are going to vote for criminals. Folks, this is Liberty Talk Radio. My name is Joe Cristiano, 646-652-4620. Please call in, 646-652-4620. Come on, I'm screaming now. I need someone to call in. Cool me off. 646-652-4620. If you're calling on a rebroadcast, you can leave a message, 918-919-0101. You can send your comments anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Now, let's spend a few minutes. Well, let's see what else they said. I'm going to go through some items. I get sick looking at my notes. Oh, Iran cannot acquire nuclear weapons. Why not? Israel has them. Because Iran is a renegade terrorist state. And we're not. We have troops in 151 foreign countries, most of which don't want us there, and we're not a terrorist state. And if they, because Iran is a threat to Israel, how? You know, the big problem is that these criminals talk about how they're going to resolve the monetary crisis, but they never say how. Oh, we're going to allot $700 billion. No, but how? Stop those speculators. How? Can you explain? Can you criminals explain to me how speculators started all this? No, they can't. They don't understand it. They have no idea. How could you solve a problem when you violate all of the principles of Austrian economics? Which is basically what economics is based on. When you distort the marketplace with federal money, and then you ignore all the principles of basic economics, how do you get a positive outcome, Mr. Obama, Mr. McCain? Now, I'd like you to answer that. We don't ask questions like that. We ask the dumbest questions, and we get dumb answers, and then we say, well, you know, I think I'm going to vote for Obama because he seemed a little bit more sure-footed on that question. How dumb could you be? Will you just go, these people should just go home and then bury their heads in the toilet and flush it a few times. Because that's what their brains are. That's where their brains belong, in the toilet. And they want to help build the Georgian economy. No, I don't want to build. No, you're not going to help build a Georgian economy. You want my money to build a Georgian economy. You want my hard-earned money. You're not going to get my money, you criminal, to give us a Georgian economy. And the only reason why you're doing that is to stiff it to the Russians. I'm on South Ossetia's side on this one. I'm not on Georgia's side. You're not going to give them a dime. But we'll vote them in because they're tough. They're tough on communism, as if we're not communistic. $700 billion of government money to corporations? No, that's not communistic. I'm sorry. That's fascism. Fascism. Fascist. We got a fascist form of government. And people are voting for these criminals. My goodness. And they say, where do they stand on the financial crisis? Oh, this one I loved. I tell you, if I had a vomitorium in my house, it would have been full. Obama says, we're going to have oversight. We need oversight on the $700 billion. Well, so far, from the budget office of the U.S. government, they have already determined that whatever oversight, the oversight we've had so far really did a good job, didn't it? You know, it's like asking the mafia to clean up organized crime. You know, it's just stupid. So far, they've determined that the oversight for the $700 billion is going to cost the taxpayers $7 billion a year. And I can guarantee you it'll go up every year. It'll be twice or three times as much every year. And it'll go on forever, like the war on poverty, like the war on terror, the war on drugs, the war on your mother-in-law, and every other stupid thing we've ever done. All right, someone send me here a instant message. Let's see what this person has to say. Not a thing. Oh, here it is. Actually, it sounds like feudalism more than fascism. Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you. Sounds more like feudalism. And yeah, we are all going to be serfs. You're absolutely right. Thank you, Jim. We're all going to be serfs, and they're going to be lords. And the lords is going to be the people who own our currency, our worthless toilet paper currency. Absolutely worthless. You bunch of criminals, you. And there I said, we're not on the other side. He says, we have to make sure we're getting the money back. We're never going to get the money back. When did we ever get money back? Never, 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 never. Now, if you never got the money back in 200 years, why all of a sudden we're going to get the money back? Especially when we're in dire financial straits. What a dumb thing to say, you stupid criminal. And none of the money goes to CEO. All the money's going to go to CEOs. It's going to the large corporations. Who the hell are you kidding me, you criminal Obama? And it also should be helping the homeowners. Why the hell should it help the homeowners? Homeowners went into these homes with no money down, got cash in their pockets, were living in an apartment before, lived in a beautiful house, a $400,000 house that they couldn't afford, and now they're going to lose it. Why should I help them out? To hell with all of them. No one helped me out with my mortgage. Oh, and McCain also says, I agree. We need oversight. Because he knows there's going to be another 55,000 departments with billions of dollars being spent. More votes for him. And he says it's going to create jobs. How the hell is it going to... How the hell... giving money to these CEOs of these large financial institutions, how the hell is it going to create jobs? It only can create inflation. No one mentioned the word inflation. No, you. That's a bad word. The I word. We got to use the I word now. And stop the reliance on foreign oil. That one, Mr. McCain, blew my mind. What the heck does this have to do with stopping the reliance on foreign oil when we should not be free of stop our reliance on foreign oil because it's cheap? Good thing I took a double dose of my blood pressure medication. Folks, I'll be honest with you. Here are some words. We got 5 more minutes. I'm getting off the air because I think I'm going to have a coronary on this damn thing. Here are a few things that were not said by these criminals. Absolute criminal. I can't wait for tomorrow morning. What, they're going to announce this $700 billion and it's going to be filled with earmarks. Filled. They're going to be giving money to everybody and his cousin. This is not going to be auditable. We're going to lose. And it's not going to be $700 billion. It's going to be trillions of dollars and the currency is going to hell in the handbasket. The currency is like toilet paper. You want money? Go to your toilet. Pull the little squares out and give them out to people. That's exactly what it's worth. And people are too damn lazy and stupid to realize that. Now, what was not said? Have you heard the word Constitution during the debate? I didn't, at least the part that I was awake at. No one talked about preserving the Constitution. You know why? Because they know they were violating every tenet of the Constitution. How many times did you hear about individual rights? Individual liberty? Never! God forbid! It's collective rights! And how about talking a little bit about reinstating habeas corpus? No! These clowns want to keep this out of there. They want these detentions there. They want to seem that they're tough on terror. How about free trade? How about maybe a solution to all this is establishing an honest currency. Wow, what a marvel idea. Get rid of the Federal Reserve. Sorry, I'm stealing your thunder, Mr. Ron Paul. You know, get rid of the Federal Reserve and have an honest currency backed by something tangible, whether it be silver, gold, or a copper. I don't care what it is. Some finite resource. And how about term limits? How about stopping the war now? How about reducing the size of government? And I don't mean just say, but be specific. Now, Obama, on his acceptance speech, said he was going to go through every line item of the budget, every department of the budget, and eliminate everyone That was unnecessary. Now, could you just for a second, there's millions of lines, okay? Tens, hundreds of thousands of pages, and he's going to be sitting there with his finger on every line saying, well, let's see this department. This doesn't sound important. Eliminate this one. Oh, 46,000 jobs? Sorry. Beep. All gone. Could you imagine that? And people cheered. They cheered. Oh, I'm going to lose my job. Yay. It's good for the economy. Oh, my goodness gracious. Folks, we're in trouble. I think they're going to pass this $700,000 bailout. It's going to be trillions. The stock market is going to skyrocket. But long term, we are going to suffer with inflation. We're going to have overt government regulation that we will never be able to untangle. This country, I think, is finished. Chile is looking awfully good. I wish I could be a little bit more enthusiastic, a little bit more reassuring, a little bit more positive, but I'll be honest with you, I have been really down the past week. I mean, really super down. And I can't, I guess what I have to do is just get on my motorcycle, ride around, never watch TV, read nothing, distance myself from all the organizations I belong to, and not even do this radio broadcast anymore. Okay, well, we have another instant message here. Maybe we have, let's see what Chuck has to say. This is Chuck. He said, by the way, check your facts. Bin Laden is still on the most wanted list. I will do that, Chuck. Okay, Chuck says Bin Laden is on the most wanted list, and I want to check on that because I heard he was not on the list of terrorists. He may be on the most wanted list, but he's not on the list of – but let me check on that. Chuck, thank you very much. I will check it, and I will announce that on Thursday morning's broadcast. Thank you very much for listening in, Chuck. This is the end of tonight's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Now, for those of you who don't get that, allowing means you're not doing anything. Striving means you're getting off your butt and you're doing something. It takes effort. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You'll feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands, but with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. That's the free life, folks. Embrace it. We're going to lose it soon. Government is like training wheels, controls exactly how you ride, and it's no fun. Ron Paul has a sign at his desk that says, don't steal, the government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.